fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
Here we go. Recapping week three. This is Fantasy Football Today. I am pumped because we don't have to talk about 15 injuries at the start of the show. Adam and Heath and Chris with you here on the show, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. How was week three, gentlemen, or so far with one hopefully high-scoring game to go?
It was weird. I felt like it was a really weird week. Like, writing our Sunday pieces, I don't know if you felt the same way, Heath, but I felt like there wasn't all that much impactful that happened yesterday. Like, it was an interesting week, but there wasn't a lot of actionable intelligence for the fantasy world.
Well, I rarely find any intelligence when I'm writing. So, it was definitely a weird week. Dave was already messaging me this morning. What did he say? Like 9 quarterbacks topped 20 fantasy points this week.
That seems like a low number.
Really low.
Yeah.
And like half of them were guys that nobody would have started anyway.
They are Trevor Siemian, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, and Brian Hoyer, and you can add, hopefully, 2 more quarterbacks tonight. But, Chris, I'm very glad you said that. I actually sort of felt the same way as I was putting the notes together. Like, what are we going to lead the show with? I'm looking forward to talking about the Ryan Matthews situation, the Green Bay Packers changing up their offense, Dez Bryant's got an injury, Russell Wilson's got an injury, going to put some mid-round wide receivers, Randall Cobb, Golden Tate, Allen Hurns, Michael Floyd on the drop-o-meter, and a couple others. Let's get into the show. First, huge question. What are you watching tonight?
I might just skip everything and go to the Marlins game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, are they honoring Jose tonight?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
So I might do that.
Yeah, I will watch a little bit of both events.
What events are those?
Expecting both of them to be shootouts. Many points will be scored.
Yes, insults will be, barbs will be traded. I think the correct answer is debate on TV and stream the game on your device.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. So, player of the week, Marvin Jones. I'm going to nominate him as your player of the week. And
what?
Only 8 targets. I think this is.
I thought it was Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh yeah, well, Chiefs DSD could have been your player of the week.
Ryan Matthews.
Ryan Matthews not going to be your player of the week, but Marvin Jones, 72% started. I think 2 of the guys that our podcast ended up being highest on, you know, not saying we ranked them number one, but guys that you wanted to start that you didn't necessarily draft to be starters were Marvin Jones and Kristen Michael. We identified great matchups. The Packers without Sam Shields are helpless against wide receivers. We've seen it 2 weeks in a row. But your overall thoughts on Marvin Jones, who has the Bears, another really beat-up secondary coming up, and then it gets a little bit tougher. But who cares about the matchups at this point with Marvin Jones? Is he a stud, must start rest of the season?
Well, let me tell you my situation. I'm in a league where I've got Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, and Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones can't be a must-start in that situation, right?
Well, like unless you make a trade.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like there are probably a decent number of people who didn't start Marvin Jones this week because he was their number 4 wide receiver.
72% started.
Yeah.
So but here, okay, then let me rephrase it, Chris. Is Marvin Jones good enough for you to trade away one of those stud receivers and start Marvin Jones every week?
I think he's definitely a top 20 wide receiver in fantasy, maybe a top 15 moving forward.
Yeah, there's going to be very few times I rank him outside of the top 20 for the rest of the year unless something major changes. Just looking at the schedule, I can't see a time where it's going to happen except for maybe at Minnesota. So it must start.
I traded him Sunday morning.
Oh, good. Yeah,
you got a lot for him.
Good for me. Here's a trivia question for you. In standard scoring leagues, so far through 3 weeks, we still have 1 game left, but in standard scoring leagues on CBSSports.com, the number 1 and the number 2 player at each position are separated by 4 or fewer fantasy points. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. Except for one position. Name that position that has a bigger gap between number 1 and number 2, the biggest, by far.
Is it wide receiver and Mike Evans?
You think he's that much further ahead than Marvin Jones?
Yeah. Marvin Jones didn't score a touchdown until this week.
What's your guess, Heath?
I don't think it's wide receiver. I'm guessing it's tight end.
It's DST. The Vikings are 20 points. That DST scoring changes in every league, but in a
worst trivia ever.
Worst trivia question?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, look, they faced the Packers and the Panthers the last 2 weeks. I think the Panthers were the highest scoring team in football. They had 8 sacks yesterday, or last year they were anyway. 8 sacks yesterday. Oh my gosh, this Vikings DST, they are a monster, guys.
Yeah.
No, I think one of the Vikings fans actually messaged me on Twitter yesterday, right after the game, and asked, can you please continue to not rank the Vikings defense in the top 10? I think you're motivating them. So, probably.
Sure.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance. I mean, Michael Thomas is searching out my tweets and faving them. So the Vikings defensive coordinator is probably bulletin board material.
There you go.
They got the Giants coming to town on Monday night, and it does not matter who they're playing. You're starting the Vikings defense at this point. All right, so here's the news. Dez Bryant, MRI on his knee, which he hurt on the game's opening drive. He played through the injury. He had 3 catches, 40 yards, and a touchdown against the Bears. So we'll update most of this news, of course, tomorrow. But it was a much better week of news, at least for the skill position players. There were a lot of defensive injuries, offensive line injuries, things like that. But Russell Wilson, guys, hurt his knee, downplaying the injury. Seattle is, Russell Wilson is. It could be an MCL, but they don't seem too concerned. He's expected to play at the Jets, but he's got an ankle injury and now a knee injury. And only no more than 16 rushing yards in any game this year for Russell Wilson. Are you concerned? Now, the good news is after the Jets, they have a bye. But, you know, tell me what you're thinking about Russell Wilson right now.
Well, the really good news is after the bye, they get the Falcons and the Saints in 2 of the next 3 weeks. So I think what we said last week was Wilson may kind of scuffle around for the next 2 weeks, and then after his bye, he's going to take off. And that's still what I'm feeling. I don't get the impression the way he was lobbying to come back in the game that this is a serious knee injury.
Yeah, on the other hand, he did come back into the game against Miami when he had the ankle injury.
Right.
It's clearly not right. So I'm not sure he's the
best tough judge.
Well, I mean, whatever.
He can deal with pain better than Sammy Watkins.
Being tough. You're the worst.
You are,
being tough is I'm sure, a valuable resource in a football team. But for fantasy football, I don't really want a quarterback who's tough. Because that's going to what we've seen, with the exception, I guess, of this week, is that it hasn't been great for, and even this week, he wasn't that good.
No, he
wasn't.
What,
15 fantasy points?
In 2.5 quarters?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, he 23 pass attempts, that's a full game for Russell Wilson sometimes.
Well, Trayvon Boykin came in and did all right. The thing about coming back into a game is that does happen a lot, and then you find out the injury was more severe, and they were out there on adrenaline. So, again,
yeah,
we'll wait for an update.
The swelling might not come in until a day or two later. So it's not necessarily. But he hasn't looked that great so far.
Well, Heath, you called Russell Wilson a buy low candidate on Wednesday's show.
Yes.
Pending the results of the, you know, tests on his knee. Let's assume it's just he's day to day, probably going to play. You still feel that way about Russell Wilson?
100%. Nothing has changed.
Okay. Next news item. Jeremy Langford left with an ankle injury. And quite frankly, Jordan Howard probably should be getting more and more work anyway. Jordan Howard is 32% owned. They've got Detroit next week, then they're at the Colts, then the Jaguars. Is Jordan Howard a big-time waiver wire priority for you in week 4?
There are so few good running backs right now. You know, I was looking through yesterday, and I think there are like 9 teams with running backs that I just wouldn't want to start. So, yeah, I want any running back that's got an opportunity.
Okay.
We're really going to test out this whole John Fox doesn't want to give a full load to a rookie running back theory, because he is so obviously, in my opinion, the best running back in Chicago. Give him the damn ball.
Yep. Even Chris Collinsworth last night, in between saying foul instead of penalty, was saying he wouldn't be surprised if Langford's the feature back sooner rather than later.
It's worth noting he got...
I meant Howard. Sorry, Howard.
It's worth noting Jordan Howard had 9 yards on his final 8 carries, so...
It is worth noting. That is a good point.
He had 36 on his first.
It's also worth noting that Carlos Hyde had almost 70 yards and 2 touchdowns when the game was 30-3 yesterday. We'll talk about
49ers are going to be playing a lot of 30-3 games.
usually a pass in those situations. Now, the Lions expect Amir Abdullah to miss the season, according to Adam Schefter, so I think you could be cool dropping Amir Abdullah. Vance McDonald left with a hip injury. Carson Wentz is the first player in NFL history with 100 pass attempts, 60 completions, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Wentz is a winner for Heath Cummings. We will soon talk about whether or not you should add the rookie quarterback. And guys, Odell Beckham Jr. may have been crying on the sideline yesterday. Did you see that?
I did not. Was that because the kicking net punched him in the face?
It may have been. We're not sure. But I think he was
crying. Appeared to have thrown a tantrum.
He did throw a hissy fit and, yeah, got hit in the face by the
kicking net. Now, Chris, I know you are team It's Okay to Cry.
Oh, yeah, it's totally okay to cry. I cried plenty this week.
Right. It's not okay to cry because you're throwing a temper tantrum over a football game on the sidelines, right? Like, it's okay to cry over sadness. It's okay to cry for lots of reasons. That's not one of them.
I'm not going to put crying into categories. Okay?
So you can cry for any reason at all.
If you're crying, you're crying. You know, it's therapeutic. It feels good. It feels
like
good
you say
cry.
Something mean to me on the podcast, and I just start crying. That's okay.
It's not the
that
first
would
time.
Be, oh my! We would win the podcast awards if that would happen. That would be amazing. I would appreciate that. All right, here's your headline of the day. It's from Philly.com, which is the Inquirer. The headline is Ryan Matthews injured? Well, you tell me, Philly.com. He had 2 carries.
That's some great investigative reporting.
He's clearly injured, right? I mean, he had the first 2 carries of the game, was dealing with an ankle injury, and then it was Wendell Smallwood and Kenyon Barner taking over, and Sproles in the passing game, 128 yards and a touchdown in the passing game. This is a loser for Chris Towers. Ryan Matthews with a bye coming up. Your take on the Philly running backs, Chris?
I mean, thank God he scored touchdowns in the first 2 weeks of the season because he hasn't been good overall. I can't imagine too many people started him yesterday, but yeah, it's really frustrating to see the usage that he's had, the lack of success he's had outside of the red zone. And last week, Darren Sproles was already cutting into his work pretty significantly. So I don't know, maybe it was the ankle that he's been dealing with. Maybe the bye week will get him righted, but this was not super promising.
We should get an update today. I'm sorry. We should get an update on the ankle today.
Right. I mean, after last week, they were pretty upfront in saying he had an ankle injury. They didn't say anything after this game, so I'm not really sure. He's not missing practices, but he's just not healthy enough to be effective. It's not like you're dropping him and you can't trade him for anything. So what you're hoping is he goes into his bye week, he gets healthy, and in week 5, we see the Ryan Matthews workload we expected, which is somewhere around 12 to 15 carries.
Yeah, we knew he had an easy schedule to start after the bye at Detroit, at Washington. Not bad. Gets a little bit tougher after that, but it's not so bad for Matthews. And we'll see. Who would you pick up? Would you pick up Smallwood? He had 17 carries. Kenyon Barner had 8. They both scored a touchdown, and Sproles only had 2 carries, but he's been very involved in the passing game, and I don't know, maybe this is just the kind of offense they're going to want to run, throw it around a little bit, get Sproles out in space.
I think I'd rather add Sproles just because he has a defined role, whereas Smallwood and Barner, even if they are a part of the rushing game, they're kind of redundant, especially given Ryan Matthews. It might be a situation where they have 3 running backs, which doesn't really do anything for fantasy. Sproles at least has a defined role.
Sproles was a great sell-high candidate last year. I mean, he got off to a great start, and then he faded. It's kind of tough to rely on him unless he's getting carries, which doesn't seem like he's going to. But we'll see. I mean, maybe he's like their Gio Bernard, and they actually feature him a little bit more. 47% owned. Smallwood and Barner are less than 5% owned. Here's a quote from Minnesota cornerback Captain Munnerlyn, cornerback. This is from the Charlotte Observer. I thought this was an amazing quote. Munnerlyn said, "I'm just going to be honest. Me personally, and I never talk like this, I personally don't think Funchess is that good. So we really weren't worried about him. We were just worried about Benjamin and Ted Ginn and Philly Brown. We knew those guys would come in. They would feed them well, and we just try to communicate and make plays." You don't see cornerbacks say opposing wide receivers are not that good. What? But my question is about Kelvin Benjamin. No catches, 1 target. Any concerns about Kelvin Benjamin?
I'm concerned because Michael Floyd made up some serious ground in Chris and I's bet this week with Kelvin Benjamin scoring 0 points. We should update the leaderboard on that. Kelvin Benjamin now at 37.9 fantasy points on the year. Michael Floyd all the way up to 19.4
hey,
on the year.
That's more than I expected.
Yes.
The best, but such a buy low candidate.
Which one?
Michael Floyd.
But not Kelvin Benjamin after his 0.4.
Oh, I don't know that you should be concerned. I mean, the Vikings now, I think it's 70 games in a row. Seven games in a row.
That'd be impressive.
Seven games in a row, going back to last year, that no receiver has had 80 receiving yards on them, or more than 80. Because nobody did that yesterday, right?
I mean, I thought somebody made a good point, John Lee from Football Guys. I was talking to him on Twitter yesterday. He said the problem was the Vikings didn't give Kelvin Benjamin enough time to get open. Because he doesn't get open in, like, 2 seconds. He doesn't open in 3 or 4 seconds.
Eight sacks.
Yeah, they didn't give Benjamin time to get it open. I don't think most defenses can do that to Carolina.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I don't think Benjamin's a buy low because I don't know that anybody's going to panic. If anybody is, then sure. But that's, you know, Xavier Rhodes is a very good cornerback. He played a lot on Kelvin Benjamin. It's a great defense. I just wanted to see if you guys were concerned.
Is it fair to say that I want to say he was in all of the top 20 at flex for week three? All three of your rankings.
No, he was. I know he wasn't mine because we got into a huge argument about that on the show yesterday.
Because I think they were both top 10.
Jamie had him fifth overall at wide receiver.
Yeah, it's probably fair to say, like, we didn't expect him to be a number one wide receiver coming into the season.
I still don't.
He had two good weeks, but, like, this is a pump the brakes moment, maybe.
Through 2 weeks we decided Kelvin Benjamin is back, then to me that means he's a number two wide receiver. Because that's what he was before.
Yes.
He's never been a number one.
No, but okay, that's unfair to say. There have been very few rookie wide receivers who have been number one wide receivers. You look at AJ Green, Julio Jones in their rookie years, they were, you know, about 18th or so. That's what most rookie wide receivers do. Forget about Odell Beckham, Mike Evans. Those guys had amazing.
There aren't very many rookie wide receivers that get 150 targets in a season.
But here's the thing. He's obviously the best receiver on that team. And to be a number one wide receiver, there are probably, 15 guys who could be top 12, okay? So there are probably more than 12 number one wide receivers if you look at it on draft day, right? 15, 16 guys going in the first three rounds. I don't know if he's going to be top 12, but I think Kelvin Benjamin, I don't think you can judge him on his rookie year. I think he's got the ability to certainly be a must-start and a top 15 wide receiver, absolutely. And the reason why people were downgrading him was because of the health. He's shown that he's healthy. He's shown that he's in shape. He can, you know, he can.
I don't know that he's shown that he's in shape.
He's a big guy. He's not.
Right.
I don't agree with that. I don't really. All right, it's fine. Agree to disagree.
Like, I'm not saying anything bad about him. You're saying top 15. I'm saying he's a guy that you rank in the mid to late teens. We're basically saying the same thing. I'm just saying he's not one of the. He's not in the Antonio Brown, AJ Green, DeAndre Hopkins.
Evans. He's not in the first round.
He's not in that top 10. Consideration for me.
Okay, but is he? You know, I'd rather have him than Dez Bryant.
No, because we're getting closer even to Romo coming back, and once Romo is back, then Dez is a clear better option.
Okay, so are the Packers back, guys? Mike McCarthy changed things up yesterday, used different formations, was not as reliant on the 11 set, the one running back, one tight end, three wide receiver set. Devontae Adams actually played a little bit less, even though he caught a touchdown. Jordy Nelson, big game. Eddie Lacy, 17 carries, 103 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 24 passes, and four of them were touchdowns. And they didn't have the ball that much in this game because they were so efficient offensively until the second half. Do you guys think the Packers are back?
I mean, it's less that and more that I wanted to see them at home before I really started panicking. We saw them at home. They did what you expect the Packers to do at home. But we're still talking about 14-game sample size going back to last year, including the playoffs. I think this was the first time since week 6 of last year that Aaron Rodgers averaged more than 8 yards per attempt for a game. So there's still some concern here.
Yeah, they've got one road game until, like, November.
Okay.
And it's at Atlanta.
Yeah, they don't play on the road again until October 30th, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they've got the Colts at home, so... They're going to be fine.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's fair.
Lacy, though. How do you feel about Eddie Lacy? This was obviously a good game for him. I don't know why.
Hey, Azer, did you see my post on Twitter last week?
What was it?
I'll send it to you. It's three different pictures from three different years of Eddie Lacy. I would like you to figure out which year was was which, because he's so obviously too fat to be good now, right?
Does he look exactly the same?
He looks exactly the same. You cannot tell. The difference with Eddie Lacy is the Packers offense. It is not Eddie Lacy.
I don't totally agree with that.
You should.
Because I don't think that, like, it wasn't just us speculating last year that Eddie Lacy was out of shape. Mike McCarthy was flat out talking
about it. Right, and then this year, everyone said he's in the best shape of his life. No, and
that's
then
not just not true. That was BS.
Like,
that was BS. It was so obviously.
He's a big dude.
Yes,
he's averaging 5 yards per carry. He's averaging 71 yards per game. He's been as good on a per carry basis as we've ever seen from him so far. He just hasn't scored touchdowns.
And they
scored a bunch of touchdowns in 2013 and 2014.
He also caught passes. He's not doing that this year.
He wasn't even in their one goal line play yesterday that I saw. So
yes.
I don't know if that's a
that confirms it.
No touchdowns.
That is the number one metric I use when thinking about fantasy football is goal line plays that Heath saw.
what about goal line plays that he's in on?
If they only played one, I'm not concerned.
Well, let's see how many they've played for the year.
Well, look, James Starks wasn't in either. I think they had like a tight end in the backfield. I think that was the Richard Rodgers touchdown. So that's, you know, it was only one play. But yeah, look, what do you think about Lacy rest of the season? Lacy or Jeremy Hill?
Lacy.
Yeah. They're both solid number twos.
Lacy or LeSean McCoy?
McCoy.
Lacy or Mark Ingram?
Ingram.
I'm sticking with Ingram.
All right. So he's still like a top 12-ish running back?
No.
Lacy?
Not for me. I think he's right at the, again, like the.
I feel better about him than I do most running backs in the NFL. Okay. Like, he's a running back that I feel like I can pretty much put in my starting lineup most of the time.
Yeah, well, what was good about it was he got all the work. James Starks got almost nothing. They were talked about getting them both more involved. Didn't happen. But you know who didn't have a good game? Randall Cobb. So let's go to the drop-o-meter. 0 to 10 on the drop-o-meter. Look, this is going to be different for every team, every owner. All depends on your circumstance. But just tell me.
We're doing 12-team league period, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
12-team league. 0 to 10. How droppable are these guys? Randall Cobb coming on up to a bye now, too.
One.
Three?
You call him a buy low candidate?
Oh, you can probably get him for almost nothing, so sure. Yeah, I mean, if you can trade almost absolutely nothing for him, yes. Buy low.
So, rest of season, this is probably an easy one. Marvin Jones or Randall Cobb?
Jones.
Golden Tate or Randall Cobb?
Cobb.
Yeah, I guess. Cobb?
Let's
seem very similar to me.
Let's put Golden Tate on the drop-o-meter, 0 to 10.
5.
3.
I think Jamie made a good point when he said Tate's playing out of the slot this year. That's Bolden now in the slot, and Tate maybe playing a little out of position, and he's been brutal so far. But the Bears coming up could be a good matchup. Allen Hurns, 0 to 10 on the drop-o-meter for Hurns.
6.
3.
Chris is not dropping anyone.
Yeah, Chris, not going to drop anyone.
Yeah.
So
I'm not feeling it yet.
I am concerned about Hurns, guys, because you look back to last year when Julius Thomas got healthy, the two of them did not really seem to be able to have good games at the same time. So, and now you've got Marcus Lee in the equation too, and he's just taking away targets. I don't know that I trust anyone other than Allen Robinson to be consistent in that passing game.
Well, I mean, I guess the good news is, Julius Thomas and Allen Hurns are still not having good games at the same time. They're also not having good games at all, really.
Well,
I guess
Thomas got off to a good start.
He had week one.
Okay, week one.
Yeah, I think Hurns is talented enough that, like, I'm not sure who I'm dropping him for yet. Especially, like, maybe Terrell Pryor. Is that the one guy I'm dropping him for?
Well, I would drop him for Jordan Howard if I needed a running back.
Okay.
Yep, I would drop him for Pryor, too.
I was talking about wide receivers.
Yeah. All right, next on the drop-o-meter, Michael Floyd.
1-0.
How about Derrick Henry? He's gotten 10 carries and 9 carries in his last two games.
I'm not dropping him. 3. There's too few running backs out there that you feel good about anyway.
His situation, though, for me is, I mean, he needs to be treated, in my opinion, like most of the other handcuffs. We had this hope that he was going to be the guy scoring the touchdowns and he was going to have this bigger role. And DeMarco Murray's playing good football right now.
DeMarco Murray's good.
And he's scoring the touchdowns.
And he's the passing yardage back.
And he's a pass. So if there's a bad game flow, Murray's the guy that's still relevant. So if you have to drop a handcuff, sometimes you have to do that, especially with the bye starting. Yeah. This week, probably not with just two teams on a bye, but it could happen.
And finally, Tyler Lockett. No catches, no targets against the 49ers. 0-10 on the drop-o-meter.
6-5.
So he's the most droppable so far? He and Owen Hearns?
He and Hearns are tied for me.
He has the worst track record of this group. He's he's the one that doesn't play in a pass-first offense.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Kristen Michael soon. Now, I hope all of you are using SeatGeek to find tickets to games and concerts. I'm telling you, it's the best app you're going to find. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I use it anytime I need tickets. And, of course, our listeners can get a $20 rebate after their first SeatGeek purchase with our offer code FFT. People have been tweeting me, what's that offer code? It's FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. Pretty sweet deal. $20 off with the offer code FFT. So I am very excited now. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are touring. There is no chance I'm not going to that concert at Madison Square Garden, and there's no chance I'm not using SeatGeek for tickets, because SeatGeek is going to give me results from multiple ticket sites. Yeah, I could go to 3 or 4 sites and I could look for tickets, or I could let SeatGeek do the work for me and show me all the results and show me the best bargains and show me the cheapest tickets, and how about even showing me the view from my seat? So it's a no-brainer, people. Give it a shot. You're going to see what I'm talking about. Get your $20 rebate. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. Click add a promo code, enter FFT, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download that SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code FFT. Winners and losers from Fantasy Week 3. Carson Wentz is one of Heath's winners, along with Kristen Michael. Carson Wentz with 23, 14, and 25 fantasy points in 3 games. And do we need to pick up Carson Wentz, Heath?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's to the point now to where you say he's a must start, but this is what we said. This is the big test. If he does well in this game, then he's somewhat legit, and he played the best game that he's played so far in his career. I think he's now in that category where maybe he's more of a streaming type option that you're going to start against good matchups. So you're not picking him up. If you've got Aaron Rodgers and you're not carrying a backup quarterback, it's dumb.
Yeah.
You're not benching one of the guys that we consider a consensus top 10 option for him. But if you're going with the streaming approach and you keep 2 quarterbacks on your roster, you probably don't pick him up this week because he has a bye, but you're trying to pick him up next week.
That was the problem for me. I was writing Sunday night's instant waiver wire reaction piece, and I wrote about Carson Wentz, but it's like, he's on a bye this week, so it's not exactly like he's not someone that I would necessarily want to use the roster spot on this week. But moving forward, yeah, at Detroit in week 5 could be a good opportunity for him. That's could be a tough-ish matchup, but it's also an opportunity for him to get into a shootout.
Not with unless they get healthy by then. But Detroit is so banged up, and we saw it. They were terrible against the Packers. Also, Kristen Michael. So, Michael. Now look, this was really set up for him to have a big game. San Francisco on the road, they're not good. They haven't been good at least the first 2 games, and they were terrible last year, and I think even the year before that, as Jamie's pointed out. 20 carries, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns, also 2 catches. But just overall, you know, give me your take on Michael versus Rawls going forward, as they have the Jets on the road and then a bye. So that kind of stinks. But what are you thinking, Heath?
Michael is a guy that I wrote about in Believe It or Not this week, and I was maybe the slowest to buy into the Kristen Michael hype for the 17th time, but it worked out. And I personally feel like Kristen Michael is the starting running back for the Seattle Seahawks. And Thomas Rawls comes back. It's probably a 1A, 1B situation. But so far from what we've seen this year, Michael has looked better than Rawls. Maybe that's because Rawls wasn't fully healthy. I'd rather own Michael than Rawls.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely. It is. There's a part of me that just wants to say Kristen Michael's not good just because of the way Kristen Michael Twitter reacts with his first good game in 4 years.
But he was really good.
He was really good, but it's like it's 1 game in 4 years.
Well, okay, wait, no.
Like
no,
we
no.
were right. We were right.
And it's disagree.
Like, let's push the brakes.
He played well at the end of last year. He didn't play great, but he played well. It's just possible that the guy is taking things more seriously now, whatever the situation is. The Seahawks seem high on him, and And it's not one good game. It's three good games. 4.4, 6 yards per carry, and 5.3 yards per carry in three games so far for Chris DeMichael. Yes.
It's one definitively good fantasy game.
Yeah, because he finally had the work to get there.
In his career.
I thought at the end of last year he had a couple of...
He did have a 102-yard game with no catches and no touchdowns. So that's 10.2 fantasy points. That's pretty borderline.
That's good. We're happy that Eddie Lacy just did that.
I wasn't as happy as Chris was. Chris was throwing a little party.
Look, touchdowns are hard to predict. The fact that he
had
100
yards. I
love
it when you say that.
Chris DeMichael's not fat, so it's fine.
I like it when you say that, Adam.
Okay. Because
I say that all the time.
They are.
And you don't always believe me.
I don't always agree with you. I mean, when you have Chris's winners. Chris's winners. Terrell Pryor, 26% owned.
A literally historic game.
Oh, I yeah. Think. Right. Play
yeah.
some
safety. No, I looked it up. It definitely is.
Yeah. In terms of the rushing, the passing, I wonder how much of that was just the Dolphins' defense being extremely poorly coached, because they looked, when Terrell Pryor was back in the backfield, they looked completely lost and guys were running wide open for, whenever they had the opportunities when he was running the read option, they didn't seem to know what to do. I don't think they were expecting that. I'm not sure other teams were going to be quite as ill prepared for it, but he looked outstanding.
Okay. Now, it is historic because of how many receiving yards he had, but I looked it up, and since 1960, before yesterday, there had been one player ever with 20 rushing yards, 30 passing yards, and 100 receiving yards in the same game.
Okay.
Do you guys want to guess?
Danian Tomlinson.
No.
That would be my guess. Walter Payton.
It was not.
I just looked it up.
David Patton.
David Patton.
David Patton was the only player to do it, but he didn't have near as many receiving yards. Pryor was the first ever with 20 rushing yards, 30 passing yards, and 140 receiving yards.
I guess my question is, what happens to Terrell Pryor next week, in week five, when Josh Gordon's back?
Well, here's the thing. They're going to suck. They're going to have to throw the ball a ton. Maybe he only gets 8 targets instead of 14. But I can't imagine Hugh Jackson's going to totally go away from this Wildcat thing that he showed, because it's the only thing that makes their offense somewhat interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So
and it's not a Wildcat. This is a guy who can actually throw the ball.
Right.
Sure.
No, but that's the thing, is that the reason the Wildcat ran out of steam was because once teams realized that there was really just one read and that Ronnie Brown was never actually going to throw the ball.
I don't think teams are going to give a lot of respect to Pryor's ability to throw the ball more than 7 yards down the field.
I look at it like the read option with a quarterback who's not a great runner. It gives the defense some...
It is something else to think about, yes.
It's something that when Terrell Pryor's back there, if he runs a read option with Isaiah Crowell, and he can either keep it, he can give it to Isaiah Crowell, or he can pull it and look out on the passing routes, I just think it gives the defense something else, and it's another wrinkle that makes it a little more interesting.
Who are some guys you would drop for Terrell Pryor?
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
Alan Hearns.
Derrick Henry.
Vincent Jackson, obvious.
Yeah, Vincent Jackson.
Dante Moncrief.
Dante Moncrief.
See, I don't know. That's a short-term play, obviously. But long-term, Corey Coleman will be back in a month. Josh Gordon will be back. Josh McCown will be back at some point. So I could see Pryor being pretty worthless at week 8. Or maybe he's awesome. And I definitely think it's worth taking a shot. But I'm not dropping a guy like Dante Moncrief.
I mean,
you're not going to see Dante Moncrief for 5 or 6 weeks.
If I needed to start someone, yes, I'm dropping Dante Moncrief. But hopefully I'm not in that situation where I think Moncrief was ready to have a pretty big year.
I agree, but I already dropped Dante Moncrief in one league, because it's just 4 to 6 weeks at this point in the season. That's going to give me 4 weeks for the playoffs.
Yeah,
like,
I
to
understand.
Get ready for the playoffs. It's just you're running out of time there, and you're assuming he comes back and hits the ground running.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying, and I actually wanted to talk about Philip Dorsett. We'll get to him, but Mike Evans is another winner for Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
Touchdowns are random, and he's getting... Now we've seen one season where he scored a bunch of touchdowns, one season where he couldn't get into the end zone. He's already matched in 3 games his touchdown mark for last season. Mike Evans is a dominant player who's getting force-fed targets on a team that has to throw the ball a ton. He's really good.
Yes, he is. And will you be starting him in either of any of the next 3 weeks? Mike Evans has Denver this week, at Carolina, and then a bye.
At Carolina for sure.
I'll probably start him against Denver too.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to start him against Denver. AJ Green, T.Y. Hilton, the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but like, what are the odds that whoever you started over AJ Green was better than him this week? What, do you have 9 fantasy points?
7, I think.
Was it 7? So the odds are a little bit better if it's 7.
The good news is AJ Green had 7 fantasy points, 8 catches, 77 yards. The good news is Patrick Peterson covered Mike Evans and he caught a touchdown. And Jameis Winston throws a lot and throws, well, sometimes he throws a lot. We don't know for sure, but he throws to Mike Evans a lot. So yeah, you could start. All right, my winners, Melvin Gordon. I'll make this quick. Melvin Gordon got every carry, and he's caught 7 passes in his last 2 games. And even though he averaged about 2 yards per carry, he still was productive for you in fantasy with almost 80 total yards and a touchdown. And I think Gordon, you know, is going to have a good year because he's just the workload's going to be there, and you're going to start him every week. And bad yards per carry, but still a good fantasy day. And Todd Gurley, you know, I put him as a winner, but more so just to bring him up. Because he's averaging 2.9 yards per carry. He had 27 carries for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ended up having a very good game, fantasy-wise, but it wasn't that good of a game. So, you know, schedule's gonna get a lot better for the Rams pretty soon. Not this week. They have Arizona on the road. Then it's gonna lighten up a little bit. How should Todd Gurley owners feel right now?
Let's say it again. What did we say about touchdowns already? Twice?
Well, so this is why I have a problem with what you're saying. Because yes, touchdowns are random. But you have to understand that some guys are more likely to get touchdowns. And when you have a guy like Todd Gurley or Carlos Hyde,
he's pretty likely to get touchdowns.
Well, yeah, but the undisputed touchdown guy on their team. Not going to happen every time, but they're very likely to get those touchdowns. And Kelvin Benjamin, the big red zone target, he's going to get the touchdowns. Dez Bryant, he's going to get touchdowns. We know that about some guys. So they're not completely random. That, I think, is where I differ with you guys.
Touchdowns are much less random when you're the best player on the team that gets 25 to 30 touches a game.
Yes.
And is the only red zone option.
Like this is why there was a lot of like, when I'm doing the chat yesterday morning, I had a lot of, should I bench Todd Gurley for play? And it's like, no.
Yes. I disagree with you because if I asked you that the first 2 weeks, the answer would have been yes.
That you get, sometimes players play poorly.
But it's not that he's bad. It's that we go back to the last 8 games of last year, mm-hmm. and he was under 4 yards per carry. He's in a situation that's going to make it difficult for any running back in football to do well. Just because
that's
he scored these 2 touchdowns, I don't think we can exhale and say all is well with Todd
Gurley. So you're benching him against Arizona?
If I had great options?
If you have... No. But that...
Yes, like if I have Melvin Gordon against New Orleans, heck yeah.
Who has great options at running back?
You know, some leagues I do.
If you have Charles Sims...
I benched LeSean McCoy last week, or this week.
That was a bad plan.
Yeah, I benched him for Melvin Gordon and Mark Ingram. Sometimes it just happens.
I generally think fantasy players overstate their ability to predict what's going to happen based on matchups.
Okay, but when
I think
I'm
more
start,
often than not,
I'm,
you
I'm
should
gonna
start
a running back who's averaging 2.9 yards per carry
at
Arizona.
You're going to bench the guy in week 3 that you drafted number 1 overall?
He had 2 bad games. Like why
yes,
are you ignoring what happened in week 1 and 2?
He also had 1 good game.
He did have 2 bad games.
Yeah.
Like that, he had 2 bad games.
Here's what happens with Todd Gurley. When they are trailing, he's not involved in the passing game. They're going to Arizona coming off a pathetic loss. They're going to Arizona. They might get blasted in this game. It's a good run defense, even though they struggled against LeSean McCoy going from West Coast to East Coast. I think there's a lot of reasons, they're not quite on the coast, I get that. I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about Todd Gurley going into this game, and I'm not saying he's outside the top 24, he's still a start in that respect, but he didn't have a good game. He scored 1-yard touchdowns? I mean, he got lucky.
But that's what's going to happen. Like,
if they're scoring points, they had a good game against the Bucs, that might not happen against the Cardinals.
You can't say he got lucky.
They're not going to have Case Keenum throwing the ball to Kenny Britt on the goal line.
If they get down to the goal line, that's great. They had 0 touchdowns in the first 2 games. They're clearly one of the worst offenses in the NFL.
They were clearly one of the worst offenses last year.
And
you drafted him number one overall.
I didn't draft him. I don't have him on any teams, and this was my argument against him to begin with. And I still love Todd Gurley. I think he's a great player, and he's going to have a good year. This particular week is concerning for me because it happened 3 times last year. They got blown out. and he struggled because he's not involved in the passing game. And I feel like that could happen this week.
The communal you. There is a decent chance that if you have Todd Gurley, you definitely took him with a top five pick.
I don't agree with the philosophy that just because you drafted a guy in a certain spot, you are obligated to start him.
Okay. I don't think we know anything about Todd Gurley right now that we didn't know when we were drafting him top five.
I agree, except the Rams offense has been dreadful, at least through two games. They woke up yesterday. All right, you know what? I just don't think he's an automatic start. If you're starting two running backs, who do the Bucs have next week? You asked me about Charles Sims?
They're averaging 2.2 yard points per game less than last season.
So, offense, I'm not going to start Charles Sims against Denver over...
The offense was dreadful last week.
But, all right.
Like, you're still starting him over Latavius Murray.
All right, let's go to Heath's losers. Latavius Murray is Heath's number one loser this week.
Yeah, it's been, speaking of touchdowns, it's a good thing that Latavius Murray has scored them, because otherwise he would be a bust with a capital B. Never, ever, ever, ever listen to what coaches say in the preseason. They said they were going to feed him. They said he could get even more touches than he did last year. He's got 32 carries in three games. He's only caught one pass in two out of three games. Super concerned. If I could get somebody to trade for Latavius Murray based on how many touchdowns he scored, I'd be very happy with that. I'm not benching him this week at Baltimore. I'm not benching him the week after that against San Diego. So, like, I'm not that concerned, but this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Give him the ball.
The weird thing is he's averaging 4.8 yards per carry. It's not like he's been...
He's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Maybe they would argue the reason he's been better is because he's not touching the ball as much.
Maybe. Possibly.
The thing that gave me pause with him is I believe he's a free agent at the end of this season. He's an undrafted or a sixth round pick. I'm just not sure how invested this team is in the Latavius Murray's long-term future. And so that was my concern coming in.
Okay, but do you think there's a scenario? How possible is this that they eventually realize this guy's our best running back? We need to give him the ball a little bit more, and he starts getting 15 carries.
50-50.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington have looked decent when they've gotten the chance, too.
This is one of those situations where it's so far working out very well for the Raiders, so I don't expect anything to change.
Yeah.
This may be a very good football plan and a very bad fantasy football plan.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I mean, they're 2-1. They struggled. They barely won in New Orleans. They struggled at Tennessee, and they lost at home. So they're not doing... I mean, they're 2-1. They're not like off to an amazing start. Another loser for Heath is Michael Floyd, which I disagree with. I think it's unfair, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's unfair. I mean, he should definitely catch more than 9 of his 24 targets. I think the biggest thing for me with Michael Floyd, I don't think you should drop him. I don't think he's necessarily going to be much worse than where I had him ranked at the beginning of the season, a borderline number two wide receiver. But the odds of this mythical Michael Floyd breakout coming in year 5, where all of a sudden he's more efficient and starts catching more of his targets and starts producing better and is the number one option in the passing game, doesn't seem to be happening. And he had the perfect situation happen where John Brown missed most of the preseason and wasn't that involved in the passing game early on, and he didn't take advantage of it. And then in week 3, he gets a perfect game script against Buffalo where they're trailing. He gets 11 targets, and doesn't really do much with it. And, John Brown's still not playing that many snaps, but Brown did finally get a bunch of targets in this game, did catch more passes and have more yards than Floyd. So is it going to turn into another situation where it's a three-headed monster? I mean, his one hope was that he grabbed the reins and became the number one and had the breakout. It's not happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we would think it is.
Chalk this one up as a win for me.
A win for you?
On my skepticism about... Well, because...
It's partially a win and partially a loss.
The three things I was worried about was... that was a separate thing. My skepticism about the Cardinals passing game was a number of factors. There were too many guys.
Right.
So it was hard for any one player to separate themselves. It was hard for one person that you drafted to be the guy. Carson Palmer was an obvious regression candidate, and he's been the least accurate quarterback in the NFL so far, according to Pro Football Focus. Only 60.7% of his passes have been on the mark, have been graded as catchable by Pro Football Focus.
The only thing I would say that doesn't quite make it a win is that Larry Fitzgerald has distinguished himself so far.
Well,
like if he keeps up this pace,
he caught a couple touchdowns early.
Catches 100. Well, he's on pace for 100 catches and over 1,000 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to make the case for Larry Fitzgerald as a for Michael Floyd as a season long loser, then there's no argument. Yes, my beef with you making him a loser this week was that the whole team stunk and he still got a bunch of targets. So they all were losers yesterday except for David Johnson. I don't think we can single out Michael Floyd. Okay, well, Chris's losers. Ryan Matthews, we talked about. Theo Riddick is another guy that's a loser for Chris. 10 carries for 9 yards. Every time I saw Theo Riddick get a carry, there were like 3 Packers right next to him in the backfield. But what were your takeaways here?
I would just say that there was, Theo Riddick has never really shown the ability to run the ball consistently in his career. He had a good week 1 and 2, I think, running the ball in limited exposure, but for his career, I think he's a 3.2 yards per carry guy, and he really needed to show something as a running back. He didn't. So I think this is a big opportunity for Dwayne Washington to get involved in the running game moving forward.
Nice to see Riddick, though, did have 7 catches. So
Theo Riddick's still the guy we expected him to be.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Charles Sims, Jerick McKinnon. We got some good replacements from the injured running backs, but I don't know that we can say that in Detroit. My losers are Jordan Reed and Philip Dorsett. You know, Reed, he did have 2 stretches last year where he went 3 games without a touchdown, so you don't want to bury him yet. But it's a little, the yards are concerning. 64, 70, and 56 yards in 3 games. He's had at least 7 targets in all 3 games. Is Jordan Reed still a top 3 tight end rest of season for you guys?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay. But late round 3, early round 4 in a 12-team league. If you were drafting again today, where would you take Jordan Reed?
I would still take him after Greg Olsen.
But where?
Yeah, I would definitely bump him down. I very rarely took Jordan Reed. I thought he was being overdrafted.
I'd still be fine with the end of 4, start of 5, though.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking 5-6.
And Philip Dorsett, just really disappointed. He played the same amount of snaps as T.Y. Hilton, 62 of them, and 3 catches for 27 yards on 4 targets. They're going to London to face the Jaguars. I hope that is a tonic for Philip Dorsett, but I was calling him a must-add. I thought he adequately filled the role of Dante Moncrief and did not in this game, so we'll see. Some more news and notes. Manti Te'o left with an Achilles injury, as if the Chargers need any more bad news. Minnesota guard Alex Boone left with a hip injury, as they need more bad news, right? They got Matt Khalil on IR, and now Alex Boone left. Don't know the severity. The Giants, 2 cornerbacks, Eli Apple and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, left with injuries, so they were out for, you know, pretty much all of the second half. Keep that in mind. And Oakland offensive tackle Menelik Watson left with a groin injury. The Redskins secondary banged up. Rashad Breeland, high ankle sprain. D'Angelo Hall may have torn his ACL, so I don't think they're playing this week. And Terrell Pryor's coming to town. Jared Cook left with an ankle injury. Detroit safety Tavon Wilson missed the second half with a neck injury. Pittsburgh safety Robert Golden, hamstring. Washington had injuries to their center and their guard on their offensive line. Cleveland decided to give the ball to Miami after winning the coin toss in overtime. That was interesting. And it kind of worked out. They forced a punt, but still weird. Miami lost 2 linebackers in this game. Don't know for how long. Jelani Jenkins and Koamisi. San Francisco cornerback Jimmy Ward hurt his quad. Eli Rogers left with an injury. And the Cowboys played without Tyron Smith. And then they lost Lael Collins, one of their guards, around halftime with a foot sprain. And he was replaced by Ronald Leary. Let's get some hot takes, guys, on some tight ends. Hot take on Jimmy Graham. 6 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. Go.
Must add.
Must add.
Must start.
76% own, you know. This
Given
is worth...
how few good tight ends there are, yeah, must start.
Bad news, though, for Tyler Lockett. That's my hot take. Can't have another guy taking targets. Hunter Henry, I think that's really impressive what he did. 5 catches, 76 yards, caught all 5 of his targets. He fumbled, though. Hunter Henry, 24% own. Hot take.
Yeah, I mean, tight end's so bad that if you have a pulse, you're on the fantasy radar.
I watched a lot of that game. He's the best tight end in San Diego.
That's what I'm thinking, you know? Like, they respect Gates so much. I'm sure if he's healthy next week, he's starting, but kind of interesting, that's all. Cameron Brate, 3% owned, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches, 46 yards, and 2 touchdowns on 10 targets. Hot take, Cameron Brate.
We've made America Brate again.
We sure have.
He's going to score touchdowns every 3 weeks, and you can start him if you're good at guessing.
Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders, guys. 117 yards and 2 touchdowns on 13 targets for Emmanuel Sanders. Hot take.
We were way too low on Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. Trevor Siemian's not bad.
The Denver Broncos quarterbacks couldn't play worse than last year. I said it 1,000 times.
Right, but again, we're forgetting about the first 2 weeks. Emmanuel Sanders had 8 catches for 88 yards in the first 2 weeks combined.
Yeah, but there were people ranking Emmanuel Sanders as the number 4 wide receiver this week.
It kind of made sense to me because Siemian going on the road for his first start, and the thing is that game, sometimes games play out not at all as you expect based on history. So we laid it out, right? Broncos are great against the run. That's indisputable. Bengals are not good against the run without Vontaze Burfict. Seen that time and time again. Bengals have been great against number 1 wide receivers. Demaryius Thomas, huge game. Jeremy Hill, huge game. CJ Anderson really struggled. So that was just a weird game to me. I'm not like automatically starting Emmanuel Sanders next week.
No, it's not automatically starting, but you're not automatically benching him either.
In PPR, I'm probably starting.
Oh, wait, they're playing the Bucks. Yeah, I'm starting him.
Well, you're not cutting him. I think that's the good news. I think he would have been cut in some leagues if he had a bad game. Kirk Cousins emails. We got some Kirk Cousins love from the fantasy listeners.
There are Kirk Cousins stans in the world, and I can't imagine a less satisfying life to live.
Jeez.
Wow.
You know, 2 games with 20 fantasy points, 23 yesterday, 20 in week 2. Cleveland coming up, then at Baltimore. And Matt in New Jersey says, can we talk about Kirk Cousins? I feel like everyone on the podcast is so down on him, and he put up another solid week with an easier schedule going forward. I'd even go so far to create a You Like That segment on the show. And then Rod from New Mexico, the subject line of his email was just Chris Towers. And it said, Dear Chris Towers, you like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that, Chris?
I do like that email.
It was great.
Why aren't there like Ryan Tannehill stands like this? What is it about Kirk Cousins that like he's such a self-evidently mediocre quarterback? Why are there so many people that will rush to defend him?
Because.
And not like Sam Bradford or Ryan Tannehill or any of the other 15th to 19th ranked quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not that good. But if he's going to throw the ball 40 times right. a game, he can be fantasy relevant.
Well, he was,
but don't come at me with like Kirk Cousins is good. He's bad.
Didn't he just have a better year last year than Tannehill's ever had?
Yes. He had a good 8 weeks.
Like, but it would have been the best year of Tannehill's career by far.
He had a good 8 weeks.
Okay. Cousins is 83%.
He's better than Ryan Tannehill.
But he was only 23% started.
Like, he's a fine streaming quarterback. If he's my only quarterback, I don't feel great about it.
Did you feel great about it?
This week, you like that.
He was being drafted before Matt Ryan, right?
Yes.
Like, let's be smart here.
Well, I mean, it's easy to say that now, but Ryan has probably had the best schedule of any quarterback so far. Is that not true?
Sure. Yes,
don't shrug it off.
Yes, he has.
Matt Ryan, the Hall of Famer, Matt Ryan, who's had one awesome fantasy here and has disappointed his fantasy owners every single year.
Okay, but his disappointing his fantasy owners has generally been better than any of these other guys we're talking about. Like, his disappointing his fantasy owners has been like range QB 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. It's not like he disappoints and has a outside of the top. He had one season outside of the top 12.
That's very fair.
I'm just wondering if like there's going to be like a Brock Osweiler movement next. Like, what is it about Kirk
Cousins?
Is he
going to complete 70% of his passes over 4,000 yards?
If they ask him to throw screens 25 times a game, he might.
It's a passionate fan base. And also, like, did you not see the DeSean Jackson touchdown? I mean, like, you give the guy a little bit of credit. He threw a 44-yard touchdown. It was a beautiful throw.
DeSean Jackson is very good.
Yeah,
we called him a sit. And DeSean
Jameson
Jackson.
Crowder touchdown was really nice for Kirk Cousins, too.
So what, are we going to take that away from Peyton Manning when every bubble screen to Demaryius Thomas? Demaryius Thomas took 50 yards to the house?
You two are salty today.
Peyton Manning was bad last year.
No, but he was doing that in his MVP season.
Like, I'm not going to.
This happens.
I'm not going to throw on the cape for Trevor Siemian because Emmanuel Sanders played well yesterday.
But it just happens. Like, you want to talk about a guy being a bad quarterback, you have to separate that from his fantasy production.
Look,
like, Ryan Fitzpatrick's a perfect example. Yes. We know. Ryan Patrick's not good, right? But last year, he was worth starting pretty much. Like, week after week, he got you around 20 fantasy points.
I will stream Ryan Fitzpatrick and Kirk Cousins and Ryan Tannehill on the teams where I didn't draft a quarterback early.
Okay. Let's go to the games for the last few minutes of the show here. Minnesota 22, Carolina 10. Anything to say about the running backs in this game?
Not liking this Jerick McKinnon / Minnesota situation. I'm not sure anybody can run for better than 3 yards per carry.
I believe they're averaging 2.2 as a team for the season. So that's not good.
Right. As mentioned, just lost Alex Boone. But hopefully schedule will lighten up. I mean, they get the Giants and then Houston and then a bye. It's not that easy. A little better after that. No, not really. Philadelphia right out of the bye. Then it gets better. Green Bay, Detroit, 34-27, Green Bay over Detroit. I think we pretty much covered this game. Nice day for Stafford, though. 32 fantasy points. I think he's the number one quarterback in fantasy right now.
Yep, sounds about right.
Okay. Baltimore 19, Jacksonville 17. Now, Jacksonville played this game without Kelvin Beachum and without Brandon Linder, two starting offensive linemen. This is another team, I think, guys. Offensive line is killing them. I know Bortles is an easy target to pick on, but if we're gonna say the offensive line is hurting TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivory, I think, you know, probably put some of Bortles' struggles on that too. But you know, I think it's worrisome.
Yeah. Blake Bortles is Blake Bortles. It was nice to see Pitta get another 8 targets. Would have liked a little bit more in the yardage department. Good to see Allen Robinson score touchdowns. I don't know. I mean, I don't. Blake Bortles has not been that much different than his career numbers in the first 3 weeks.
He's been sloppy. Very sloppy.
And his motion. Go just watch some of the highlights. He looks like a softball pitcher.
They're clearly going to have a new coach after they lose to, if not by the time this podcast is over, they're going to have a new coach after the London game when they lose.
Well, they need to hire a quarterback coach and somebody that tells him not to take the ball below his hip when he's throwing a pass.
Yeah, they need some mojo. Are there any running backs in this game, Baltimore, Jacksonville, that you trust going forward?
No.
Buffalo 33, Arizona 18. Nice game from McCoy. And Tyrod Taylor, 75% owned. Is he worth owning? Is that New England next week? Then at the Rams.
Yeah, he should still be owned.
Yeah.
He's right there in that Kirk Cousins range for me.
If Sammy Watkins doesn't play, I don't think you can have much confidence in Taylor.
No, you can't start him in a one quarterback league without Watkins, but we don't think Watkins is like out for the year.
Right. Oakland 17 and Tennessee 10 here. I know you guys liked Mariota. This was a little disappointing. Four fantasy points.
He was awful.
Yeah, he was bad.
And they didn't throw the ball to Tajay Sharp hardly at all.
That was so frustrating. Like, they threw it to him like 3 times on the final drive, I think, but like, I thought without Delanie Walker, Tajay Sharp was going to be awesome. I benched DeSean Jackson for him.
Yep.
And dumb.
And I've got a new team name, but it's not Team Name Tuesday, so I'll save it for tomorrow.
Okay. How droppable is Tajay Sharp?
No.
I mean, he's more droppable than Allen Hurns.
I don't think so.
He's less owned than Allen Hurns.
Miami-Cleveland. Any running backs in this game that you're excited about? Either team.
Another good game from Isaiah Crowell. I mean, he didn't score a touchdown, but I'm excited. I'm going to be starting him most weeks, probably.
Crowell has averaged 5.2 yards per carry or better in all 3 games. So that's pretty good. I think Kenyon Drake might be the best running back at Miami. Agree or disagree?
Sure.
Yeah.
When Arian Foster is not healthy?
When Arian Foster is healthy, I think he might be the best running back.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah. Why not? Maybe.
Washington 29 and the Giants 27. A lot of secondary injuries here for both teams, as we mentioned. I think Eli Manning, you know, the fantasy production has not been there except for one game, but he could have a huge year. The touchdowns just need to come. He's been a little unlucky with the touchdowns, but Eli could have a huge year with these receivers.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Odell Beckham has not scored in his last 4 games, 37 targets going back to week 15, I believe.
You're not starting Eli this week, though.
No, are you starting Odell Beckham against
yes.
Xavier Rhodes?
Yes.
I don't care. Benjamin?
Yeah, I don't you're care not, if you tell me that.
You're not benching your first round pick in the first 4 weeks unless he's hurt.
Or if he's Todd Gurley. Shane Vereen was off to a great start, and then he fumbled, and then Orleans Darkwood took over. So Dark was 1% owned, and not a great matchup, obviously, with Minnesota coming up, but I still think Vereen will get some work, and maybe Jennings will be back. Denver 29, Cincinnati 17. CJ Anderson, you know, after a great week 1, he's been pretty pedestrian against the Bengals and the Colts. Are you guys concerned that he got overhyped after week 1?
This was a disappointing game. The other running backs were the ones that I was like, we're never going to guess when's the right week to play Jeremy Hill and the right week to play Gio.
Oh, the next week, this upcoming week is the right week to play Jeremy Hill against Miami.
And so Gio Bernard's going to have a 90-yard touchdown reception.
They both could be good.
Okay.
The one thing I do want to say in CJ Anderson's defense is the Colts' defensive line might not be terrible.
Yeah, they've actually done a pretty good job.
They were getting a lot of pressure and a lot of penetration yesterday as well.
Seattle 37, San Francisco 18. I think we covered this game. Los Angeles 37, Tampa Bay 32. This was unexpected. Tavon Austin, 68% owned, just had a big game. I have no interest in having Tavon Austin on my team. How about you?
Nope. Well on his way to 100 catches, though.
That can't be true. Really?
Nope. It's not true.
Okay.
And I don't want him on my team. I was a very nice performance from Charles Sims, over 120 total yards and a touchdown.
Didn't run the ball super well, but
he's going to be exceptional until Doug Martin comes back.
Kansas City 24 and the Jets 3. How about the Spencer Ware, Jamaal Charles situation? What do you think happens there, Heath?
I'm almost wondering now if the Chiefs are just going to wait until after the bye to bring Charles back, although it might be nice to give him kind of a half game and then get a week off and then come back. I mean, Ware's been okay.
Oh, he's been good.
The last 2 weeks.
He's had tough matchups the last 2 weeks, and he's done better than I expected.
Yeah.
That should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, he almost scored. Ended up being a fumble.
It should have been if he'd held onto the ball.
Yeah.
Well, he made a good play.
Well, Travis Kelce.
My question, Heath, is Jamaal Charles going to be the guy, or is it going to be too much of a timeshare for Charles owners?
There will be a time this year when Jamaal Charles is the guy.
Okay. Philadelphia 34 and Pittsburgh 3. What do you make of Jordan Matthews? 2 for 19 and 1. A touchdown again on 3 targets. Very strange.
I mean, that's really weird because Carson Wentz threw the ball 31 times. I don't make too much of that. He's been such a big part of the offense the first 2 weeks. I don't think 3 targets in week 3 is scaring me off. At the very least, he scored a touchdown to make up for it and soften the blow.
And Ezekiel Elliott had a nice game. Dallas 31, Chicago 17. But I really think Cole Beasley needs to be owned in more leagues. This is 3 straight games where he almost had a touchdown. Cole Beasley leads the league and almost had a touchdown.
I yelled and cussed and screamed at my TV. Ezekiel Elliott gets 30 carries, runs for 140 yards, and we get rushing touchdowns from Dak Prescott, Lance Dunbar, and Alfred Morris.
Crazy. Crazy.
That's so terrible.
But I don't think it's a sign of things to come. In week 1, he scored a touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott. In week 2, Morris scored a touchdown, but I think it was because Elliott fumbled twice before that, and they just put Alf in. It feels fluky to me. If he's going to get that many, he's going to have a great year, Ezekiel Elliott.
The big news is we need to move Zach Miller way up our tight end rankings for as long as Brian Hoyer is starting. He was looking that way early and often, and I think I read that Miller actually led all tight ends in routes run this week.
Wow. Okay. All right. I get a little worried whenever we see a tight end like Dennis Pitta have a big game, and then we get excited about him, and then the next week he gets you 4 fantasy points. Even Jimmy Graham. I mean, it happened 3 times or so with Jimmy Graham last year. He followed up his big games with terrible performances last year.
That's tight end outside of the top 3.
Right. I'm not going to complain about Dennis Pitta when he gets 8 targets. Like, he scored 4 points. He didn't score a touchdown. Whatever. If my tight end gets 8 targets, I'm starting him.
That's fair. But I would like for him to get 8 targets in a better offense.
Well, that's not possible.
Are you starting Kobe Fleener?
That's a good point.
I am starting
that's
Fleener.
That's a good point.
Because you've been...
That's true.
Murdering Kobe Fleener.
It would be interesting to see. I may be regretting that tonight. Now, in fairness, Kobe Fleener was awful with his 8 targets.
Just pointing it out there.
Pitta was a real superstar with his.
Well, no, he catches the ball generally.
Generally speaking,
look,
yes.
Look, Dennis Pitta has as many good games in the last 4 years as Kristen Michael.
That's true.
Why don't we end it on this bright note? That's Fantasy Football Today for this Monday morning. Thank you all for listening. We'll come back tomorrow with the waiver wire. We appreciate it. For Heath Cummings and Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. Peace out. Yeah, it was a weird ending.
What the...